Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, and you notice in the next section it says Christ seen in the types. What this next section does is it looks at the types, or rather it looks at the word type and the Greek word where we get our English word type. But let's read the scripture that we have. And this is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Through verse 6 and I guess verse 11. I think actually I printed out the whole thing, but excuse me. But it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." And that word ignorant is not a put down. It just means that you should walk around not understanding. "I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come." Now, the word, the Greek word for type is tupos, and in English, it's spelled T-U-P-O-S, tupos. And the word means a die. Now, we use the term die in manufacturing. We call it a manufacturing die. Basically, what you do is you take a piece of metal, like sheet metal, for instance, and you have something very hard that you press into the metal, you stamp into the metal, and then the metal takes the shape of the die, and then you pull the die out, and the die is not hard. It isn't bent, it isn't distorted, but the die is so hard that it distorts the metal. I'm trying to think of another example we could use. Let's take one of the chairs we're sitting on. The chair was, this part was this one sheet of metal. And then it was pressed down over something that was this shape. And then the edges were curled. And it was formed in that fashion. And when they were done, we have a chair. a very simple explanation is if you take some cookie dough and you roll it out, you take your little star and your little circle and your little moon-shaped cookie cutters and you press it down. And then you lift it back up and you have the shape of a star or a moon or whatever it is. And this shows us something about the gospel. The word tupos is used three times in the Bible, and I want to go through every occurrence of the word tupos in the New Testament. It's just a handful of ways, a handful of times that it's used. But it's used in three separate ways. And the three ways are related, but if you'll take a look at them, and what I did, as I said, I don't know Greek or Hebrew. But I took my Strong's Concordance, and I took a look. And what I found was amazing. What I found, it brought me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I found shows me that the Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, they interlock. And there's perfect harmony between the Old and the New. Okay, in John chapter 20, verse 25, this one you don't really have to turn to, but it talks about the print of the nails in the hands of Jesus Christ. And when it says the print, that word print in English is translated from the Greek word tupos. And the nail, as we talked about the dye, the nail was hard. And the hands of Christ took the shape of those nails. And when they were done, there was a hole in each hand. Now, at first it doesn't look like that's all that important. You say, well, yeah, we know he was crucified. We know that he was nailed to the cross. But as I said, the study of the word tupos shows us that the Old Testament and the New Testament go together. They cannot be separated. They're meant to go together. It's like husband and wife. You've got to have both for a successful marriage. Incidentally, here's a freebie. You know that God said in the creation accounts that God made Adam, and that was good, but you need to have a helpmeet for him. And so God took a rib out of his body, closed it up, and made Eve, made the woman. But that word helpmeet, not help mate, as we always say, but help meet. We have the Bible, and this is called spiritual. This is called, I'm at a loss for words again, but let me say that anything that's not of the Bible or not of the things of God is called secular. Now, in the writings of that day, when the Old Testament was written, back in the time when Hebrew was a language that was used every day, there were other things, other scraps of paper, other documents that we had. We don't, of course, have those documents, but we, through archaeology and all of these things, they understand that through the other uses of language back then, they can get a sense of what some of these Hebrew words mean. And of course, we do that in Greek as well. But through secular writings, the word helpmeet is a commonly used expression. It's not right that Adam should live alone. We need to make a helpmeet. And a helpmeet in secular understanding is, the definition of that is the other side of a drainage ditch. And that's real spiritual, a drainage ditch. Well, I guess here on the West Bank, we'd like the ditches to drain and not overflow. But a help meet is the other side of a drainage ditch. And the implication is, if you only have one side, if Adam dwells alone, you don't have a ditch. You understand? So husband and wife, you need both. It's not good to dwell alone. Now, I know that some people go through life, they don't marry. I understand that. And that's an individual case. And God doesn't look down upon those. There are those that God calls to be eunuchs. But for the most part, for most people, God's plan, it is that a man should find a wife and a woman should find a husband. And the two should work together. And it just don't work right when you don't have both. But let's look at the second use of the word tupos. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 17. And Paul is speaking here. He says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Now that word, form, it says, you have obeyed from the heart that tupos of doctrine, that type of doctrine that was delivered you. Now, if you look at the whole verse, it talks about you did live in sin, but you obeyed the gospel, and now you're living right. And your heart has been changed. Okay? Now, let's think about that dye for a minute. You've got a piece of sheet metal, and this dye comes down and punches on that sheet metal. The sheet metal is changed. And when the dye is lifted, you've got something that's changed. The sheet metal takes the shape of the dye. It's not the other way around. But the sheet metal, when the dye is done, forever, for the entire useful life of that piece of that, for instance, that chair, for the entire life of its use, a useful life, it always retains the shape of the dye. Now, the first use of the word tupos was talking about the print of the nails in Christ's hands. Now we know, and again, from the verse that we just read, that as we come to Christ, He makes an impression on us. He changes us. We're delivered from darkness, and we're translated into the kingdom of light. Those that sat in darkness and the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shone, and we're changed. Christ changes us. There's no mistake. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And we shouldn't go back and try and walk in the old ways that we used to live in. We shouldn't be like a dog going back to his own vomit. We need to leave off the old ways and walk on forward with Christ. Okay, let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." That word example is tupos. It says, brethren, follow me. He says, follow me as I follow Christ, remember? And he says, there's some other guys with me that are living right. You mark who they are. You take note of who they are, and you follow them as well. As we have given you an example. Okay, so the first one we looked at, that Christ changes us. That's what that word tupos means, that the dye. Well, also, that same pattern that Paul got saved, that Barnabas and Silas and the others got saved, and they were changed, and they began to live the gospel and preach the gospel. Well, these men, they went to Corinth, they went to Colossae, they went to Philippi. And that same pattern, they demonstrated to all of these men. And here in Philippi, Paul is saying, they're there, they're cut out of the same mold, they're from the same mold, they're from the same pattern, you follow their lives. Because they were cut out from that same doctrine. And again, as the people in Philippi yielded their lives, that same die stamped in their heart. How many of you know that God said that He would take out the stony heart of flesh, the stony heart rather, and give us a new heart of flesh? He would write His law on our hearts and would change. 1 Timothy, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's the same idea. He's speaking to Timothy. He is discipling Timothy. Paul is discipling Timothy with this book and says, you be that example. You see, the same idea. The same idea is carried. That as we allow Christ to change us, then we are to be an example for others. We are to be a living epistle, known and read of all men. We, many times, are the only Bible that the sinner will ever read. At the gas pump, on the job, if you happen to get into a wreck with somebody and it's even your fault, they can see Christ in you. And they should, because you haven't changed. You have been changed. Now, as I said before, the Old Testament talks about matters of the heart. And I quoted a verse just a bit ago from one of the prophets talking about God putting a heart of flesh. There in other places it talks about circumcision. Now, the Hebrews were circumcised in the flesh, but we're to be circumcised in the heart. And that's a cutting away. Well, in the flesh, if you circumcise a man, he's changed for life. But by the Spirit, God circumcises us in our hearts, and we are changed for life. There's a change. Not a physical change, but a change that can be seen if you look. A change that can be seen if you allow the Lord to live through you. You are cut. There's something changed. In some of the other types that we'll look at through the remainder of the course, there's a breaking. You remember the woman that brought the alabaster box and broke it? And the oil began to run out. The perfume began to run out. While it was in the box, that was nice. It's a pretty box. Got a Walmart sticker on it, or whatever the case may be. But while it's in the box, it's not worth a whole lot. But when you break the box, then the oil or the perfume or whatever was in there, then it could be used. How many of you know we have this treasure in earthen vessels? But God wants us to be broken earthen vessels so that we can ooze out and seep out the glory of God. And if you want the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, you have to let Him break you. God resists the proud, but He gives His grace for the humble. Now, that's the point, that we should see Christ in us. But remember the first use of the word, it talks about the print of the nails in His hands? That spoke of His death. Well, we should allow His love and His patience and His wisdom to be seen in us. His mercy. We should also allow His death to be seen in us. In one of the passages right offhand, I can't remember the verse, but Paul talks about that we should be living sacrifices. And notice that a sacrifice is something that dies, but we're supposed to be living sacrifice. We're supposed to carry about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. They should see his death. Now that's an offensive thing to them. It's an offensive thing. There's the offense of the cross, because nobody wants to give up self. Nobody wants to admit fundamentally there's something wrong inside our hearts. But that is the only thing that saves, and that is the message we should carry in word, but also in deed. They should see Christ and the cross shining through us. Now, there's one other verse that uses the word tupas in this same fashion. As I said, there are three different fashions in which the word is used, three different applications. And the second application, talking about that Christ would be seen in us, the last use of the word is in Acts chapter 23, verse 25. Acts chapter 23, verse 25. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Now, I'm not going to read the letter that was written, but what was the guy's name? Claudius Lysias was writing a letter to Felix, the governor. And he sent the letter with Paul, who was the prisoner by this time. And of course, we know that Paul made his way eventually to Rome. He got to see Caesar. And eventually he died. How many of you remember that when Paul was on the road to Damascus and the Lord appeared to him, Paul allowed himself to be changed. Paul gave his heart willingly to the Lord. But when Paul got to the city, Ananias came and laid hands on him that he would receive his sight. But Ananias, when Ananias was told, hey, that guy's going to come, Saul of Tarsus, is going to come. The one that was looking for your hide is going to come to your house. Ananias, of course, saying, look, not me, Lord. He ain't coming in my house. But God said to him, I have shown Saul of Tarsus the things which he must suffer from my name. Paul was called to be an apostle. Paul was called to write half the New Testament. But Paul was called mainly to suffer for the Lord. Now we're also called to suffer if we're going to carry about in our body the marks of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to die to self, well, that's what we should do. Now this letter is a snapshot of the life of Paul. And it shows the suffering. It shows him being accosted by the religious Jews. You know, if you read the life of Paul, it kind of looks like the life of Christ, in that Paul was saved in order to die and to be a witness along the way. And you can read about the false trial of Paul, just as you can read about the false trial of Christ. Paul did nothing to be nothing worthy of death, but yet he died for the faith, just as Jesus Christ died. Paul, more than anyone else, more than any other Bible character, shows the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. More than anyone else, you can see Jesus and the way of the cross in Paul's life. Now, that verse, and he wrote a letter after this manner. That word manner, the Greek word for manner, is tupas. So still, we can see the print of the nails in his hand in Paul, and should be seen in us after the same pattern that we've just gone through. Now, there's another use of the word tupos. It shows us that we should follow Christ. It shows us the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this is a Greek word, so you'll find it in the New Testament. But it's a Greek word in the New Testament that speaks about the Old Testament. It refers to the Old Testament. Now, as believers, we're directed to live our lives according to Christ. But if you look in the Old Testament, you will find also Christ in the Old Testament.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.